Okay. So I just wanted to reiterate a little bit of what we discussed last week as a segue into this week's discussion. So not to belabor what we spoke about last week, but we spoke about the fact that Hashem created this world only for good, because Hashem is not lacking anything. He is everything in its completion, in its shlemus, 100%, without any, even a tiny iota of any type of chisaron or lack or void. So if he created us, it wasn't for himself, it was exclusively for us, for the recipient. I'll teach us, Olam Chesed Yibana, the world was constructed just for the kindness, the benevolence, incredible generosity of Hashem. And we touched on the end of last week's discussion that Hashem wanted to give us the ultimate good. And we said, what is that ultimate good? So we gave an analogy of a person who gets the opportunity to spend an extended period of time on an exclusive paradise island with every physical, emotional, mental and amenity that exists in the entire world. That's the destination. And that's really the good or the pleasure that a human being is capable of receiving, that a human being is capable of tapping into in the Olam Haba, in the world to come. But with that, we said that it's also possible for a person to enjoy the journey. So it's like somebody who's going to this amazing exclusive paradise island, but they have an exclusive cruise ship that takes them there. So this world, the world that we're part of, the human existence, is the cruise ship, this beautiful cruise ship that we're on, which has a tremendous amount of pleasure, as we'll talk about at the end of this discussion. But ultimately, the ultimate good that the Almighty wants to bestow upon us, that Hashem wants to give us, is Olam Haba, is the afterlife. We need to focus on the here and now right now. So what is the goodness that we could tap into on the cruise ship, on the way to that amazing destination island? What can we do to tap into that incredible pleasure and goodness that Hashem gave us on the destination, not just at the journey? Here commentaries explain, our basic Jewish thought explains, there are many psukim and verses throughout the Tehillim, Psalms, throughout the Navi, that there are two things that a person could do that are extremely good, pleasurable, amazing in this world. Perhaps above and beyond, you know, the small intricacies of petty pleasure. What's petty pleasure already? You have a good drink, you have a good meal. Those are very low-level pleasures, but there are much higher and loftier level pleasures. And what are those levels of pleasure? One of them is what we call kirvas elokim, a relationship with God, a closeness with God, feeling infinity in one's finite life. That gives a person a tremendous amount of pleasure. That's one of the major amenities on the cruise ship, this exclusive cruise ship to the destination. And the second one is being like God. When people do things in this life that are like Hashem, that bring out the godliness in them, there's a tremendous rush of pleasure. I've said this many times, but it's simple, of course, that when we do acts of kindness for other people, when we're compassionate, when we're merciful to other people, there's a pleasure rush. There's an endorphin rush that happens to us. Why is that? Because we're literally imitating Hashem. Hashem created the world just for kindness. He created the world just for benevolence. He created just the world just to give. So when we give to someone else, of course there's a rush of pleasure, because we're doing exactly what God wants us to do. But even more so, when we give to somebody unconditionally, that gives us an even greater rush of pleasure. Now, we said last week that there's no such thing as a person giving 100% unconditionally. We always have ulterior motives. But we know that in Judaism, we know that in Yiddishkeit, one of the aspects or ideas in Judaism that is what we call a purely altruistic giving is when a person is involved with chevra kedisha, when they're involved with burying people, with preparing them for burial. In Jewish vernacular, that's called chesed shel emes, a kindness of truth. It's the truest kindness, because when a person does something for a dead person, they don't expect anything in response. That's a very high form of giving. Even when it comes to tzedakah, to giving charity to other people, we know that from the highest forms of giving is giving when the recipient doesn't know who they're getting from and the donor doesn't know who the recipient is. That's from the highest forms of giving. Why? Because that's the purest form of giving. It's almost, not exactly, but almost like the giving that the Almighty does to each and every one of us, the giving that he gave us, which was 100% just for the receiver and not for the giver. So we need to understand that when we do things, number one, that bring us close to Hashem, somehow try to forge a relationship with the Almighty, additionally, we do things that are like Hashem, like God, that gives us a certain sense of tapping into a much greater level of goodness than the petty lower level goodness, pleasure, whatever you want to call it, that we usually are chasing. It's an opportunity for a person to tap into a goodness that's so much greater, to use the amenities on that cruise ship that are exclusive, not the simple ones like the water park and like the bars, but the real higher level pleasures that a person is capable of. And this leads us into the next point, which is extremely empowering. If you think about it for a moment, if philosophically God created this world so that there should be a world to come, so that we could go on the cruise ship, so we could ultimately reach that paradise island, if you want to call it that. That means that creation that we are part of in the here and in the now is a partnership between man and between God. God created this amazing paradise island, which is the end result, the afterlife, the eternal life. But he also created the cruise ship. And as our rabbis teach us, if you have a beautiful exclusive cruise ship, kind of like what's going on in Corona, but no passengers, the cruise ship is pointless. So if you think about it, Hashem creates this amazing world, so we should be part of that amazing destination towards this infinite place. But if there's no passengers on the journey, well, then the boat is pointless. Chazal, our tradition, teaches us that a human being literally is a partner with Hashem. We have to understand something, that God put us in the world to further his will, to partner with him in creation. And that's an extremely empowering thought. Little tiny me, where am I? Not even 6 feet. Okay, weight-wise, I'm perhaps a little bit more substantial. But in the greater galaxy, in the world of infinite physical creations, I am a tiny little cog, I'm in nothing. Yet at the same time, I am a partner with Hashem. And when we think about that, all of a sudden we become a much more worthwhile piece of existence than we may have thought of before. If God created me, little me, you exclusive little me, and he put me in this world on this amazing cruise ship, it's because he wanted me to be a part of it. And you know where we see this the most? We see this in the story of the creation of man. In the story of creation of man, Hashem creates everything in the world. He creates energy and light and oxygen, and he creates a beautiful, stunning world with lush greenery and gurgling streams and brilliant sunlight and seas and amazing landscapes and sunrises and sunsets and food and so many opportunities. But he doesn't create man right away, even though we're the most important. He creates us at the end. The last thing that Hashem creates in creation is us, little tiny us. As if to say, look around. Look at the world around you. Look at the intricacy of nature. Look at photosynthesis. Look at the energy of the sun. Look at the beauty of the tapestry of creation. Understand, every single part of that tapestry was made exclusively for you, man. And the Gemara Mishnah teaches us that God created just one man initially. Maybe just one man and one woman. And that's it. To show that a person is obligated to say that everything that's in creation, nuclear energy, quantum mechanics, everything is there just for me. Little 5'11" flesh and bones land out. Everything that Hashem created, he created for me. And he has put me as an exclusive partner to further his mission of creation. This should fill a person with tremendous sense of inner worth, a tremendous sense of infinity. And that's a very, very pleasurable and driving emotion or sentiment that a human being is capable of having. And in essence, we find that David HaMelech, King David, he shared this perhaps in the most beautiful way. He says a pasuk, a verse in Tehillim. What's interesting is that I was never focused on this verse in Tehillim growing up as a teenager until I went to yeshiva in Israel. In yeshiva in Israel, I shared a suite. It's hard to say suite. It's Israel and it's a dormitory. It was kind of like two bedrooms that shared a bathroom and a shower, a common area. In that common area, it was all tiled, and there was a great sound, there was great acoustic in that common area. Now, the guy who was in the other suite, the other room, there was one guy from New York who had a beautiful, remarkable voice, and his friend, also from New York, who studied in Yerushalayim, I was in Bnei Brak at that time, used to come and spend Shabbos with them. And they would lock both ends of the doors to the bathroom area. They would close both the room to each of the toilet and the shower, and they would sing together. And they would sing magnificently. One would sing the bass and the other would do the harmony, and they would switch with high harmonies and low harmonies. And it was such amazing acoustics because it was all tile, the floor, the ceiling, the walls. It was amazing. And they would record it on, I don't want to date myself, but on a Walkman, like one of those recordable Iowa Walkmans. And they would record it on a tape and they would play it back. I remember that they didn't just sing songs that everybody knew, popular songs. They composed. And I remember one day sitting in my room and all of a sudden, you know, their vocals are bursting forth from that little shower area, and they're singing a song that I'd never heard before with words that I wasn't so familiar with. And these are the words that they were singing. They're beautiful words. The tune was also beautiful. And weirdly enough, some, I don't know, 20, 30 years later, I still remember those words. So the words are from Tehillim, from Psalms. And David HaMelech, King David, writes the following. He says, Ki eresh shamecha, when I look up at your skies, Masei etzpeotzecha, the handiwork of your fingers, Yoreach, the moon, the kochavim, the stars, Asher konanta, that you placed in their appropriate places. So David HaMelech is saying, little tiny me, I look up at the galaxy, I look up at a starry night, and I see Milky Ways that extend beyond anyone's infinite grasp. And I look up at the celestial bodies, the tremendous moon, the stars that are larger than Earth. I look at them. I ask myself a question, says David HaMelech. Ma enosh, what is human? What is man? He says, Kirenu, that he even deserves a mention. Uben Anosh, and what is the son of a mortal? Kisif Gidenu, that he deserves to be counted. So David says, I have this simple question about my existence. I look up at this incredible galaxy around me, and I look at little tiny me, 5 feet of flesh and blood, and I ask myself, do I even have a right to exist? Am I even consequential? I'm an absolute nothing. That's the question that David HaMelech asks. I don't deserve even a mention. I'm nothing. I'm not even a tiny, minuscule cog in an important apparatus. If I were to cease to exist, nothing would change. That's the question he asks God. And the answer that he gives is question. It's debatable. Some say that the answer that he gives is much earlier on in Tehillim. This is a very interesting answer. In the beginning of Tehillim, in the beginning of Psalms, David HaMelech, King David, writes, he says that Bipi Olalim V'yonkim Yisadet Ta'oz, from the mouths of newborns, infants, God, you founded strength. What David HaMelech says over there is that even a brand newborn baby, 5 minutes old, the brain of that baby is more complex than anything else that exists in the entire creation, hands down. So David HaMelech says, he says earlier in Tehillim, when I think about my insignificance, at least geographically, I think of my insignificance in terms of my size or my impact, I think back to what I was born as. I was born as this tiny little baby with a brain that's smaller than my fist. Yet that brain is more complex. That brain is more intricate. That brain can accomplish more than any of the entire celestial bodies, than any physical matter that the Almighty created from here until infinity. So that's the first answer. But on a physical level, my brain is more complex than anything else. And David HaMelech kind of says it. He says, "Vatechasreu me'at me'elokim." He continues, "You made us smaller than God. V'chavod v'chadar te'atreu." But at the same time, you adorned us with great honor, with great splendor, that we are more complex, more developed, and more capable and even the greatest galaxy, than the greatest celestial being, than the sun itself, which provides insane amounts of energy. Still, my brain is more complex than that. So that's one level of what David HaMelech says. But when I looked at this pasuk, I understood it differently, and I saw that the commentaries explained this beautifully. You're right. If I just look at my physical abilities, even my brain, I look at myself, and I look at myself in the scope of history. Thousands and thousands of years, billions of people. Do I even count? I look at the world around me and it is so vast and beyond anything that I ever could even grasp. Do I even rank? Says David HaMelech, yes, I do. I rank because the following. Vatechasreyu mi'at me'elokim. Shem, you gave us a small, tiny fragment. A tiny, tiny, tiny piece. Like my little two-year-old says, a itsy piece. A little tiny piece of yourself. And once you placed a neshama, a piece of God, a chelek elokami mal, inside of me, all of a sudden, I become the infinite. And the tiniest sliver of infinity is greater than the largest, most powerful finite. Says David HaMelech, he says, God, you gave me a neshama. You gave me a soul. You gave me a piece of you. You gave me the opportunity to partner on this amazing journey of life. That gives me so much more worth. That gives me so much more credibility in this world than anything else, hands down, that was created. You know, sometimes you travel and you see a mountain that is larger than large, or you see a falls that exudes such power, and you think about yourself and you think about the mountain range, you think about the power of the falls. They are nothing in comparison to us. They are all finite. They can come, they can go. The human being lasts infinitely because we have a piece of Hashem inside of us. And that is so empowering. That is so gratifying. That gives us a meaning and understanding that we have the opportunity to partner with God. It's a beautiful thing that I saw. By the way, a lot of what I'm sharing is my own. But a lot of it has been structured by Rabbi Aryeh Kaplan, that tremendous, tremendous mind plucked from the Jewish people at the prime of his brilliance. But he wrote many, many svarim, and a lot of this comes from his different svarim. So Rabbi Aryeh Kaplan writes, he says something beautiful. He says, how did God instill in each and every one of us our neshama, our soul? So if you look at the story of creation of man, it says, Vayipach be'apa, God breathed into his nostrils, Adam's nostrils, Nishmas Chaim, a soul of life. So Rabbi Aryeh Kaplan quotes, and he says that when one breathes into another person, the deepest part of their inner core comes out. When you breathe, God forbid a person does CPR, they try to resuscitate somebody else, the air that they're breathing comes from within them, from within their lungs, the center, the deepest part of their body, perhaps. When Hashem breathed a soul of life into human beings, when Hashem gave us a neshama, that breath came from the deepest part of God's infinity, the deepest part of his spirituality. And that's where we got our life from. As opposed to other levels of life, they too have sparks of God, or else they wouldn't be able to exist. They have a nefesh, which is what we call the most primitive of souls. But that not necessarily. Nefesh is not like the word neshama, breath. That didn't come from the most eternal core of Hashem, but a human being did. And when we compound that with the soul of a Jewish person, at Sinai, where Hashem intensified our souls, he added onto them, and they became even deeper and more infinite. At that point, we realized that all of a sudden, nothing in the world ranks when we view ourselves. And that's incredibly empowering to a person on one side, and on the other side, incredibly obligating. If you're a partner with God, you don't want to look back in the rearview mirror at the age of 120 and say, I failed my partner. That would be catastrophic. Let's move on a little bit. Now, but Hashem is so wonderful, as we said, on that cruise ship towards the destination, Hashem gave us incentives for fulfilling his will, for partnering with him in creation. And the greatest incentive that Hashem gave us is called pleasure, or it's called enjoyment. Now, there's different types of pleasure and enjoyment that Hashem gave us. There's lower level pleasures and enjoyment, like bodily pleasures, eating, drinking, intimacy. Then there's mental pleasures, which are probably a little bit more refined. Maybe beautiful art, a wonderful, wonderful scenery, a beautiful piece of literature, some special music. I'm talking about higher level music, not the simplistic stuff that so many people listen to so many hours a day. Things like that, which are a higher level of pleasure. But the highest level of pleasure, which is in itself a whole discussion, which we give the class called the five levels of pleasure. But simplistically, the most pleasurable thing, without thinking this through too deeply, is what we call accomplishment. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Almighty himself, wired a human being that the greatest level of pleasure that we could have is accomplishment. Because he wanted to put us in this world, and he wanted us to accomplish, he made it that when we do accomplish, it is tremendously pleasurable. And the simple proof to that is that how often are people in their existence willing to give up bodily pleasure, physical pleasure, and even mental pleasure for accomplishment. How many people during their education have literally given up a lot of the opportunities that other people who are just not doing much have because they're working to a greater goal? How often in our family life do we make concessions for our own personal pleasure because we're investing in something greater, accomplishment, our relationship with our spouse, our relationship with our children and their success, or even ultimately the greatest accomplishment, and that accomplishment is our relationship with Hashem, or living one's life in imitation of Hashem. That's the greatest level of pleasure. Like we said, giving unconditionally, being compassionate, being merciful. So Hashem sweetened the deal by partnering with us. It's a partnership with perks. One of those perks is pleasure, and the pleasure hits at all different levels. We have to focus and try to kind of grasp the largest level of pleasure, and that's the pleasure of purpose, or the pleasure of accomplishment. What is the pleasure of accomplishment? Very simple. It's doing Ritzon Hashem, the will of God. How do we know? How do we know what Ritzon Hashem is? How do we know what the will of God is? How do we know if we're accomplishing, or if we're, God forbid, wasting time? The answer is Hashem again comes through beautifully. He gives us an owner's manual for the journey on the cruise ship that has all the amenities. It has a list. It has ratings, 5-star, 4-star. And he tells us like this: you want to live a life of accomplishment? Follow the book. Follow the owner's manual for existence, the Torah. Do this and you will feel accomplishment. Control yourself in this area and you will feel accomplishment. Don't do what you're supposed to. You won't feel the accomplishment. Do what you're not supposed to, says Hashem, I'll give you something even cooler. Jewish guilt. So wherever and whenever we find ourselves, ultimately Hashem has given us A, feelings of accomplishment, feelings of pleasure from accomplishment to assist us in reaching our destination of our, or our goal. And more than that, he's given us instructions, very simple instructions. Well, not so simple. There's 613 mitzvot and they're very complex. But ultimately life is complex. If you want the maximum amount of life, we want to make sure that after 120, God seals off and says, wow, Landau and God, company, kaviyachal, if one could say such a thing, then we need to follow the Torah's dictates, positively, negatively, control ourselves, invest in what we need to do versus what we want to do. David HaMelech, again in Tehillim, writes this so beautifully, and it's fascinating that at my own wedding, we have a German-Jewish custom where under the chuppah, we sing a particular parak, a chapter from Tehillim. It's not so common, but in the German Jewish custom, the Yaki custom, we sing a chapter in Tehillim called Shir HaMalos, Ashrei Kol Yirei Hashem, a song of ascents about how fortunate a person is who walks in the ways of God. And we say in that particular chapter, Yegia Kapecha Kisochem, one who reaps the fruit of their labor. In other words, one who accomplishes, Ashrecha v'tovla. How fortunate and lucky, happy are they, and that's the ultimate goodness. And I think that it's not for naught that we sing it underneath the chuppah, as if to tell the young couple, you're starting on a very long and arduous journey. There'll be many situations where you wonder why you're working so hard, but don't take your eye off the ball. The ball is accomplishment. The goal is goodness. The goal is Hashem. The goal is connection to God. The goal is partnering with God. And you're about to embark on this amazing cruise ship, but make sure that you have your eye on the destination, which is Olam Haba. And that's why underneath the chuppah, I think the custom came to speak about this. So just to explain, let's take a step back for a moment. We have pleasure that God gives us to help us accomplish. We have the pleasure of accomplishment, which is the greatest level, because that's doing what Hashem wants us to do. And the Torah, that's our guide. But what's the opposite of that pleasure? The opposite of the pleasure in this world is pain. The opposite of pleasure is pain, correct? What's pain? Well, there's physical pain. There's mental anguish. I always tell my students, especially when they're in high school and moving on into life, that personally, I believe the greatest human pain is rejection. It makes you question your entire worth and your existence. It's just my theory of on life, or LOL, Lando on life, or whatever you want to call it. I think rejection is one of those greatest pains. But ultimately, Hashem created us. Hashem orchestrated that the chemistry of a human being is, that when we accomplish, we feel good, and when we're not accomplishing, there's a mental pain. That's there. That's Jewish guilt. Call it whatever you might want to remind us that we need to keep our eye on the ball. We have to work hard. We have to partner. We have to keep the partnership going, and we have to reach our destination. As a matter of fact, according to many of our commentators, that's Gehenna. You know, in the Christian world, they call it the fires of hell, and they put you on a big, huge shish kebab, and they slather you up with barbecue sauce, and they roast you until you're well done. That's the Christian understanding of hell, and that's a physical understanding of hell. Judaism doesn't understand it as physical. You're not in a physical world, you're in a spiritual world. So according to many, when we speak about the fires, the heat, the pain of purgatory in the afterlife, that's ultimately the greatest emotional pain of shame. A person looking back at their life in the rearview mirror and realizing how much accomplishment they could have had, how much pleasure they could have had on the journey, and also how they didn't reach the destination because they never took the cruise ship. That's Gehenna. That pain, that shame of such low self-esteem, like, what did I do? I focused on the stupidities instead of focusing on the gold. That's Gehenna. That itself atones for a human being and perhaps opens up a possibility for an eternal life, or at least an entry-level pass into that ultimate paradise island or the world to come. And just to bring one last point, and which I think will bring everything together, many ask, why is it that if Hashem created us just for the good, and the ultimate good is Olam Haba, the world to come, so then just don't forget about the whole cruise ship. Just put us directly into the paradise island. Let us be born on the island. Why the need for the destination? And on this, we have a very simple Kabbalistic philosophical term called Nahama Vikisufa, bread of humiliation. If God would pull us directly into Olam Haba, into the world to come, there would be a certain level of shame. There would be a certain level of embarrassment, almost like a handout. When somebody has to take something from somebody else, it's painful. I have to come onto you. I couldn't do it myself. So Hashem wanted us to earn Olam Haba. So he put us in this world so that we should accomplish in this world. We should enjoy the accomplishment in this world and come to the world to come with the accomplishments, which are the currency of eternity. That's how Hashem did it. Had he not done it that way, there would be shame, or the opposite of it. So we need to bring everything together and understand that the existence that we're part of, we have a choice. We could either be extremely shallow. We could focus on the trivialities of life, not understand what our goals are, not understand that there's an eternity, not understand that we have the opportunity for infinity both in this world and the world to come. Or we could make a serious cheshbon ha-nefesh, serious personal accounting. We could look at our lives, take a hard look on our lives and say, how much goodness am I allowing into my life? How much of a relationship do I have with it? How much of my life am I living modeling God? How much of my life is an accomplishment based on the Torah's definition of accomplishment? When we do that, it'll spur us onto greater accomplishments and ultimately greater pleasure. But if, God forbid, we are distracted by all the craziness and we don't accomplish, at some point we start going into spiritual depression because we're not accomplishing in this world, besides for the fact that we're shooting ourselves in the leg when it comes to our eye on eternity. I was having a conversation with my teenagers last week, and they were telling me how many of them, because they have larger periods of time, because school is somewhat, you know, has shorter hours, particularly in the public schools, they have large, large swaths of time to do nothing, and many of them are just binging Netflix for 3 months already. And they were sharing how empty they feel. They were sharing how meaningless their lives have been, and how many of them, looking back in the rearview mirror, tell themselves, I had the greatest gift that God gave me 3 months as a teenager. Imagine what I could have accomplished. And now I have nothing to show for it, besides for an incredible amount of wasted time. Watching, binging Netflix, or any TV show, or any TV show, and once success is over, is a total waste of time. There's zero accomplishments. The opposite of accomplishment is wasted time. It's a bittles man, when a person literally doesn't use their time. So we need to ask ourselves these questions. We have to take a hard look at ourselves. And we need to realize that we need to realign our path. We need to realign realign the course of this beautiful cruise ship that we're in right now and fill it with accomplishment, with closeness to God, with imitating Hashem, so that the journey is amazing and that the destination will be fulfilled. Thank you for listening. For those of you that are with us, we'll be davening mincha, mitzvah Hashem in the parking lot. It's called for 8:10, but it probably won't start until 8:15. Thank you for joining. Look forward to mitzvah Hashem next week to continuing this discussion, to continuing this series.
Thank you, Rabbi.
Thank you so much for coming on board, guys. I really appreciate
it. Thank you.